Chapter 21. Your home in the New Jerusalem. Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. And there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. The first three chapters of the Bible tell of a perfect new world created for our enjoyment. In the first two chapters there is no sin. And God and man walked together in the Garden of Eden, talking face to face. The third chapter tells how the tragedy of sin entered. The third from the last chapter in the Bible which we studied, in our previous chapter, tells of the final destruction of sin, when even death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Thus the entire Bible, from the third chapter, from the beginning, to the third chapter, from the end tells the story of 7,000 years of conflict with sin, and of its final and eternal defeat. The last two chapters of the Bible, like the first two chapters, again point us to a new heaven and a new earth in which there is no more curse or sin, and no more pain or tears. God's original purpose, in creating the earth, will be fulfilled. God himself formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. As we have seen, the wicked meet their final reward, here on this earth. And now we find that the redeemed will likewise receive their reward here. The righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the wicked and the sinner. The meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The Lord shall be king over all the earth. And no longer shall there be utter destruction. The common idea that many people have of the reward of the saints is that they will sit on a cloud, forever doing little more than playing harps. No one in his right mind would enjoy doing nothing forever. The Bible picture of the home of the saved is dear, Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. They, my people, shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Why, is there no more sea? The surface of our present world is 3/5 water. These vast oceans are the remains of the flood when all the fountains of the great deep were broken up. Our present earth is under a threefold curse. A. When man sinned, the earth was cursed, and began to bring forth thorns and thistles. B. After the first murder was committed, the ground suffered another curse. C. The third curse was the great flood, after which God said, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. The world that then existed, being flooded with water, perished. But in the new earth, there shall be no more curse. Not only did Jesus die to redeem humanity, he also died to redeem this ruined earth itself. When the blood flowed from his wounds onto the tree, fell through the air to this earth, and sank into the ground, it redeemed the elements themselves. Even the soil beneath our feet has been purchased by his sacrifice. To this redeemed earth, God will transfer his throne and his capital from their present place in heaven. Here where the cross of his dear Son was set up, he will establish his everlasting kingdom. Revelation, chapter 21, verses 5-8. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Do you feel sometimes a fear gripping your heart, lest you shall not find entrance into the new earth? Please note that the Lord will give of the water of life freely to him who is thirsty. It is only those who feel no thirst, who will not have the privilege of drinking from that fountain. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. To be hungry for the bread of life, and to be thirsty for the water of life, is a gift which only the Holy Spirit can give. How do you spend your spare time? If you are content not to read the Word of God, not to study, and not to seek for truth, this is evidence that you have no hunger and thirst after righteousness. When you are converted, you will seek entrance into the kingdom of God. It may be that you do not yet sense a natural hunger for the Word of God. No one does. This is because our heart is carnal, and we are dead in trespasses and sins. All the promises of Scripture are to him who overcomes. God will give that precious hunger and thirst for righteousness to him who asks for it. And salvation comes with the righteousness. Who are the cowardly, unbelieving, who will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone? A wise writer has said to Christian people, those outside of the city are among the most confident, boastful, and apparently zealous ones, who love in word, but not in deed and in truth. Their hearts are not right with God. His fear is not before them. The fearful and unbelieving, who are punished with the second death, are of that class who are ashamed of Christ in this world. They are afraid to do right and follow Christ, lest they should meet with pecuniary loss. They neglect their duty, to avoid reproach and trials, and to escape dangers. Those who dare not do right because they will thus expose themselves to trials, persecution, loss, and suffering, are cowards, and with idolaters, liars, and all sinners they are ripening for the second death. The unbelieving have not humbled their hearts to appreciate the sacrifice of Christ on his cross. Unbelief is not a difficulty of the mind, but of the heart. If one will not appreciate that great love of God, he is lost already. The abominable are those whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. Rejecting Christ, rebelling against love, they give themselves up to vile passions, without natural affection. The heart that despises purity, learns to love filth. God never makes any man abominable. He makes himself that way by resisting the good news of God's love. Sexually immoral people are classed with murderers. Why does God regard sexual immorality as such a terrible thing? Why do they want to stay outside the city? Is God unhappy when people have pleasure? No, he wants people to be happy. But he knows that sexual immorality does not bring happiness to anyone. It brings pain and sorrow to all who engage in it, and many innocent people are hurt by it. But why is it classed together with murder? None of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. All love of self works harm to our neighbor, both now and later. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Only those who have learned to love their neighbor as themselves could possibly be happy inside the city. Love respects the other person as an individual, and will not use him or her as an instrument for lust. True love is not fickle, but is everlasting. As we journey through life, we either build up or we tear down our fellows. Sexual immorality tears them down. God is not a killjoy, but a joy-giving savior. Only marriage can sanctify sex. Best of all, Christ saves the believer from the sin that leads to illicit sex. The mouth of an immoral woman or man is a deep pit. He who is abhorred of the Lord will fall there. The seventh commandment becomes a divine promise to he one who appreciates what it costs the Savior to redeem us. No matter how enticing the temptation may be, you shall not commit adultery. The believer who permits the Holy Spirit to hold him by the hand will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts, strives, against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot not do the things that ye would. Yes, the flesh will tempt us, but the Spirit will hold us. Sorcerers are those who use evil powers to gain advantages over others. They are classed with liars, because they use deceit in their work. Idolaters are those who place the material things of this world before God, as the object of devotion. While they have known that God is Spirit and God is love, they refuse to bow their souls before the Holy One whom they cannot see. Objects, things, material wealth, sensual pleasure, these are what they worship. Their mistake has come from refusing to believe truth that they cannot see. They began as unbelieving ones, and they end up as idolaters. Liars act out their love of self either by words or by actions. Every lie has its root in self-seeking. Even the truth that we neglect to tell when it will help someone else burdens our conscience as a lie. White lies, business lies, social lies, and diplomatic lies are all the work of liars. Except for Christ, there was never a man or a woman born thoroughly honest. But we can all be changed. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Revelation, chapter 21, verses 9-13. Then one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues, came to me and talked with me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. When a man marries a wife, it is not the house or the apartment that he loves, but the woman. Surely Jesus is not an idolater, that he would be in love with the material city itself. It is the inhabitants of the city whom he loves. A city with no people in it would be a terrible place. Never has the world seen a city like this, without criminals, slums or police. This city is declared to be the Lamb's wife, and is a beautiful home for those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. It is a real, literal city, inhabited by real, literal people. It will be a fulfillment of Abraham's desires, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. None of the cities of this world have genuine foundations, because all of them will pass away as did the ancient cities of Abraham's time. All who enter will pass through one of the 12 gates named for the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. If anyone says, "I don't like anything pertaining to Israel, because Christ has delivered us from everything Jewish," he will have to remain outside the city. James addresses his Christian epistle to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Jesus himself was a Jew, and said that, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He declared that salvation is of the Jews. If you are Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Revelation, chapter 21, verses 14 to 21. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. And the city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. And the construction of its wall was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. We could spend years just reveling in the details of this description, but there is work to be done here on earth just now, souls to be won for the Lamb and battles to be fought for His honor. We accept every word above as truth, but are content to leave the enjoyment of its reality to the glorious future. A furlong is about 606 feet, 184.6 meters, so that 12,000 furlongs would be about 1,378 miles, 2,217 kilometers. Perhaps this is the distance all around the city. And if so, the city is about 344 miles, 553.6 kilometers, on each side. Perhaps the point of this detailed description is to assure us that there is room enough for everyone who desires to enter. The word equal means proportionate, pleasing to the eyes in dimensions. Many people have ruined their happiness in this life in their search for gold. If only they had known that there is an abundance of it in the New Jerusalem, they might have been willing to wait patiently for it. When Jesus was here on earth, he possessed no gold, yet he had the genuine thing which people suppose gold will buy, happiness. Most of us have seldom seen precious stones with which to compare the foundations of the city. Neither have we seen many pearls. We can only trust that John's words of description are true. But we know that pearls are produced by suffering. When a grain of sand works its way into an oyster shell, the little creature patiently builds a beautiful pearl to cover up the object which causes suffering. All who enter the New Jerusalem will pass through a gate of pearl, a symbol of the suffering which they have endured for the sake of Christ. Has the Lord permitted some experience of trial and pain to come to you? If so, you may rejoice that you are being given the experience which will enrich your happiness when you arrive. Revelation, chapter 21, verses 22 to 27. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, For the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles, or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. When absent from a friend, we communicate by writing letters. But when we are living with a friend, we have no more need of letters to pass between us. In this world of sin, we cannot see the Father's face, and we must depend on faith and worship to communicate with Him. But because God Himself will dwell with us in the holy city, there will be no need for a temple in it. This passage makes clear that in the new earth, people's gifts and abilities will vary as they do here in this earth. There will be kings who bring their glory and honor into the holy city. The people of God will have their homes out in the earth made new. And every Sabbath and every month they will come to the holy city to worship. Isaiah says, "As the new heavens and the new earth which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. There will be nations in the earth made new, but they will never quarrel and fight among themselves as nations do here. All who enter will have learned from Christ the spirit of unselfish love for others. Are we learning that spirit now? As individual redeemed human beings, we will still enjoy our talents and personalities. There, our deepest hungers will be satisfied. Each will be free to develop his or her abilities to the fullest.